Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time of the day it is that you're listening to this program. Welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. Folks, we've got the 2022 draft. The book has been closed. It's over with. We now move on to the OTAs and then eventually training camp. And then we kick off the 2022 season. And after this draft, I have to say, I'm pumped. Because this is probably going to be one of the more exciting Eagles teams that we've seen probably since the Super Bowl year. And I think it's, you know, it's going to take more than just me to recap this draft. And so, as I promised, I got a special guest who's joining us on episode 65 of Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. But before I bring him on, let me just give you that email address to let us know your thoughts on the draft. If any questions you may have, email us at petwg@gmail.com. Again, an email address is petwg@gmail.com. So we're at episode 65. This is the draft recap. I know I gave you the first round, but this is the entire ball of wax. And without any further ado, those of you who listened to this program in the past know my special guest, or you should know. But I'm bringing him back. He promised to be back after the draft, and so he is. And Matt, welcome back to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. Thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is exciting. The draft is always the time of hope for every team, and every true fan is watching, hoping that they draft their guys. We're doing our own research. All the Eagles fans out there are doing all their own research, hopefully trying to see what they would do. It's almost like a fantasy GM type role that everybody plays when we watch these, the consecutive days of the draft. So it's exciting to talk about the players the Eagles got, and I'll save all my thoughts for when we go through the order.
Sounds good. That sounds good. And again, thank you for taking the time to join the program and provide your insight and research, because I know you've done some digging on some of these picks, and we're going to get into each and every one of them. What should we do? Should we go from top down or go from their fifth pick backwards? What would you prefer?
Maybe the top down.
All right. Then let's start with the monster or the midway. Or, I don't know, what's the nickname of the eastern Pennsylvania area? Can't even call them Midway, because that's bear country.
I don't know, maybe the tri-state area.
Tri-state area beast. I don't know. But the guy's a load, and we're talking about 340-plus pound defensive tackle who runs a 4.640 or 4.740, whatever it is. It's fast for a guy that big. And we're talking about Jordan Davis. So, Matt, what is your take on how do you feel about that first pick? Is this the guy you wanted the Eagles? Is this the take? Did you look for somebody else at that spot when they traded up there to 13 to grab him? What's your take on Mr. Jordan Davis out of Georgia?
This will sound like the people that don't know me well won't give me credit for this, but I don't watch much college football, but I did watch the entire championship game between Georgia and Alabama. And watching that defense play as a team and stop that high-powered Alabama offense, I mean, some people will say, our number one wideout was hurt.
Jameson Williams, yeah.
You're Alabama. Like, you don't have three or four more guys that can run 4.3 speed.
Yeah. Did he get hurt in the second half, or did he miss? I forget exactly when he got hurt, but he played some. It's not like he missed the whole game.
Yeah, I think he was hurt pretty early.
Was he? Okay, I don't remember.
Watched him play, and it was just two guys that stood out to me. Two guys, and one was 99. And I'm like, holy moly, that guy is the guy I want on the Eagles. And then the other one was, I was watching two other guys, the linebacker, N'Kobe Dean, and the safety. Now, the safety we didn't get, and that's fine, but going into this draft, I was like, I want the Eagles to grab two of those Georgia Bulldog defenders, starting with number 99. And people were like, why? We don't have a need at defensive tackle. And we do. We We do have a need at defensive
line. Oh, yeah, we do. It just may not be as big a need as, like, corner and safety, but it's a need for sure.
It's a need, and the Eagles, you know, they might miss on linebackers, they might miss on cornerbacks, they might miss on wide receivers until they hit with Devontae Smith last year, but they have great success drafting defensive tackles for whatever reason. Great success.
They do. Even ones that they've taken later in drafts, you know, like, who's the one I'm thinking about? Who's the guy in the 90s? After the Reggie White and after the Reggie White days and Jerome Brown, who's the Thomas is another one. That's another good one to make our point. No, who's the white guy? Who always applied? Yes, Andy Harmon. Thank you. Yes.
Andy Harmon,
very underrated player. He wasn't a top pick either. I think he was like a mid-round guy.
Yeah. Yep. And they have success.
Mike Golic was pretty decent. He was a serviceable player too.
Yeah. So Corey Simon. I mean, you can name Corey
Simon.
Yep. Played over the years that have not been busts, right? So I think you look at them drafting receivers, you're like, God, you're going to draft another bust. And thank God Devontae Smith worked out. That guy's a player. But
yes,
number 99, he is so wide. He's so big. He is so nimble. And he's not like an Albert Haynesworth, 340 pounds. He's like 340 pounds of like, he's just a big dude.
Yeah.
And, there was one picture I saw that somebody posted on social media of here's Jordan Davis, standing next to, another guy who's 6'3" and like 200.
Oh, I did see that. I forget who that guy was, but he's a guy. I think he's an NFL player, isn't he?
Yeah. It may have been his teammate, Devontae Wyatt, who's also, an amazing.
Oh, I think it might have been. But yeah, I know what picture you're referring to. Yeah. And he dwarfs him.
Yeah. Just a massive dude. So even, he's not meant to be a pass rusher. They're going to work on him with trying to figure out how to get in that scheme. But this dude is so big and so tall. And if you line him up over center, I just don't see how they're not going to get some sort of pressure on the quarterback. And even if
it's not him, you're saying? Because he's going to occupy.
Him, right. You've got Von Hargrove, you got Williams that they drafted last year. They got a good, solid beef in the middle. And I think that's why they can go lighter on linebacker. They got that middle of that line is full of beef. And I like it.
Well, one of the things that I have a feeling, and, well, I don't have a feeling. I have no idea. I'm not the coach. But it sounds like, this is another year with Gannon in this defense and his ability now to be in the ear of Howie and bring his guys in, right? So when you bring in a guy like this, who's literally a tank that you could just plop right in the middle of the defensive line, you and then all the fast linebackers, all the linebackers that we'll talk about later that they either drafted or brought in this offseason, it almost makes you wonder if at least a portion of their defense this year, the base defense, might be a 3-4.
Could be, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see some sort of constant hybrid switching back and forth depending on who's healthy and who's on their line. I don't know. It seems like they've got a lot.
They're probably whatever team they're playing, too, like just for matchup reasons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good to have that type of flexibility in your defense if they decide to go that way, because if you just kind of think about, what they did with bringing Davis in, a guy who basically is a nose guard and can take on two blockers on his, well, they're going to have to use two blockers probably on him. He's so good. And then it allows these linebackers, it frees up not only the other two ends, but also the linebackers to get to the ball, or apply pressure on a pass rush. So it's just interesting how you might see a transition this year to more of a 3-4. I don't have any inside info on that. I'm just kind of trying to put two and two together here, and it seems like they at least, like you were saying, it gives them the opportunity to have more of a hybrid defense, and go more of a 3-4 potentially in certain games or situations.
Well, yeah, and regardless of how they line him up, his ceiling – and this floor. So his floor is basically you can't run against him. So that's his floor. Automatic run stopping, defensive tackle that's not going to be moved. You know, that you sent me the one photo on Facebook of three Alabama offensive linemen all tagging up on him, and you can't even see the middle guy, just dwarfs him in size.
His head's poking over the top.
No, that's his floor. And so any bit of pass rush that they start to develop from that, whether they stunt him or try to get him on the move or whatever Gannon's got in his creative ways, is a bonus, which makes him a star after that. So if he can just hold up against a run, good pick. If he can hold up against a run and then figure out a way to install some pass rush and some pressure straight up the gut, then it's a bona fide awesome draft
pick. And that's the unknown about that guy, which is makes this pick even more exciting, because everybody knows that he can stuff the run, and you're not going to run up the middle on Eagles with this guy in there. But if he can, if he has another part of his game that he was not asked to do at Georgia, and that is rush the quarterback, then and he's able to do that and provide 5, 6, 7 sacks a year. I mean, that's probably could be a stretch, especially early in his career. But let's just say he's able to do that and be the dominant run stuffer. Then you have yourself an absolute stud.
Yeah. You have a beast in the middle, like the likes of which may have never been seen in the NFL. So we'll see that, you know, it's all team scheme, and Georgia Bulldogs took all of that defense, and everyone knew their role. It's Ron Walker,
right?
You know, has an impact on how Davis plays. Davis has an impact on how Wyatt plays, and they all impact N'Kobe Dean and all that stuff. So we're going to find out who was the true stud that was the linchpin for all that stuff to happen. So I love the pick. Absolutely thrilled that they got him. I didn't think this was I would have been happy if they went receiver again, but I just don't trust the Eagles in drafting wide receivers. I think they got lucky with their pick last year. So I'm like, wait, we got Smith, so let's just leave that alone, because Rager and all these other bums came before that. So I would have been happy with cornerback. I thought if Sauce was – if any of those guys were falling, Andrew Booth, we had a chance to maybe get him in the second round, but he went pretty late through. But there was clearly, I think, a difference here. I think the two cornerbacks that were taken first, which was Stingley?
Yeah, Stingley and Sauce Gardner. Yeah.
Stingley and Sauce. Those two, I think, were a cut above the rest.
They were. People agreed. Yeah, they were.
And, you know, what would they have had to trade to get up that high? I don't know.
Probably not worth it for a corner.
Yeah, probably not. Well, it's definitely not when you look at what they were able to do with that second pick in the first round. So I'll save that for but that's my take on Jordan Davis. I love it. I love the pick. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and the pick has grown on me. My listeners know, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But my, if I had to pick anyone in the draft, my number one guy was Sauce Gardner, just because he fills the number one need on this team at cornerback. You play him aside Slay in the secondary, and you're on your way. Okay, so that was my, I guess, my wishful thinking pick in this draft. Then once I saw the Eagles make that move and trade from 15 to 13, and I saw that, is it Jeremiah or Jeremy Johnson? I always get, I'm not sure if I have his name right. Is Jeremy Johnson the defensive end out of Florida State? What's that?
I thought it was Jermaine Johnson.
Okay. So I don't have either one. Okay.
Jermaine Johnson.
All right, Jermaine Johnson. Yeah, that guy, when I saw him falling from Florida State, I'm like, oh, man, that's got to be the guy to grab here at 13. That must be the Eagles are going. Well, I knew it was either him or Davis. I knew it had to be one or two. I preferred at the time Jeremiah? What's his name again?
Jermaine, sorry.
Jermaine.
This is what happens when you age. And
I know. Yeah, exactly. Podcast. Yeah, I know. So anyway, Jermaine Johnson. I should probably just write the name down in bold letters in front of me so I don't forget it again. Jermaine Johnson. So yes, that's the guy that I guess I always prefer a defensive end, especially a guy that many were saying he could be the best pass rusher in the entire draft. And to see him sitting there at 13 when he should have, most people have projected in the top 10. I'm like, man, that's the guy I wanted. And then he ended up falling much further, all the way down to 26. So I'm not complaining about Jordan Davis, but any stretch. I'm just saying, you went through your timeline and your thoughts as the draft was going on. That was mine. And we'll just move on, because I know my audience pretty much knows about the first round as far as you know, that first pick. So in the second pick, and we know that the Eagles initially had three first-round picks. We know what they did with the Saints, which was an awesome trade by Howie to get a first-round pick next year from the Saints, which was awesome. And the Saints, by the way, we haven't talked much about this, but I think that is the possibility of being a top 10 pick because the Saints have no coach. Well, they got a coach, but, I mean, they lost Peyton, right? Peyton's gone. They really – the quarterback situation is kind of unknown. I mean, I know they have the former Tampa Bay quarterback, right?
They got Jameis, who can throw you know, five touchdowns in a game but also throw six interceptions.
Exactly. So he's up and down. Alvin Kamara got himself in legal trouble. You know, at the end of this last season, he got in a fighter. I don't know what he did, but he got – like he might be suspended for some part of the season. Who's and he's clearly their best player. They lost
without Kamara.
They lost what was the safety's name that the Eagles were after in free agency?
Not Malcolm Jenkins.
Well, they did lose Malcolm Jenkins because he retired.
Malcolm retired.
But the other guy that they were after, the safety that ended up signing with, I forget where he went. He was like the top safety free agent.
Yeah, I don't recall his name. Yeah. But they also they should be getting Michael Thomas back. He missed all.
Yeah, he's coming back. Right. So they, you know, but my point is, they're not a juggernaut team, and they may struggle with a new coach and the quarterback situation. Who knows what you're going to get out of Jameson. And the fact that Kamara might miss, you know, he could be suspended for a portion of the season. All of those factors in there and the losses on defense. We were just talking about they lost both safeties. I know that it sounds like they just signed, what's his face? The guy from Kansas City there that's been a free agent.
Honey Badger.
The guy that he remembered that the Eagles were interested in.
Yeah. Yep.
So it sounds like they got Honey Badger, so that'll help. But my point is the Saints, that could be a if it works the Eagles' way, it could be a top 10 pick. More than likely, it'll probably be like a mid round first. But the idea is they're gonna
top 15 is reasonable.
Yeah, they're gonna have two first round picks again next year. All right, so they gave away they traded that third pick or the third first round pick. And then what they did with the second pick in the first round, I think blindsided all of us. Nobody saw this coming. I don't care who you are. There's not an Eagle fan out there who saw this coming. So Howie working his magic again, ended up making trading the first pick, their second pick, which was pick 18, I believe, right, in the first round. They picked 15, which moved it to 13, and then they still had the 18th pick. They ended up trading that to the Tennessee Titans for a true number one wide receiver that we haven't had in Philadelphia since Terrell Owens. And then prior to Terrell Owens, basically since Mike Quick. So we've had two number one wide receivers in the last 25 years in Philadelphia. Now we can say we have a third. And that is A.J. Brown. What are your thoughts on A.J. Brown?
First I was pissed because I was watching the draft and I didn't realize what happened with the pick. All of a sudden I saw that the Eagles were no longer on the clock. The Titans are on the clock. And I'm like, I'm watching and I'm not putting two and two together. I'm just looking for where did the Eagles drop back. I'm like, oh, they must have dropped back like a couple slots. And like, but I'm like, I don't even see them for the rest of like the draft. I'm like, what the hell did they just do? Yeah. And I'm like, did they trade for a pick next year? I'm like, this is clearly, if they did, not putting much faith in Hurts to get them through this season. Because now it looks like, oh, they have a quarterback targeted for next year because now they just traded for another first round pick next year because I couldn't see this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the news is breaking. I'm already texting with you. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Eagles traded them. And then I see the thing filed turn on. I'm like, holy ass, I think was what my reaction was. They just got A.J. Brown. So,
yeah.
I'm still kind of shocked and ecstatic about it. I think that does a whole lot of things. A, it's A.J. Brown, bona fide number one receiver. Two, Devontae Smith, going to have a lot to work with now as a number two. And
absolutely.
And pressure's off him.
Right.
Number three, Jalen Reagor no longer needs to see the field. Ever.
Right.
So now you're looking at A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, Greg Ward, I don't care. That should be your four wide set right there.
Yeah. Yep. It does a lot. And you hit them all with your analysis there. It makes Smith a lot better, takes some pressure off him, and he can learn from A.J. Brown. and, you know, kind of do his thing now against the second corners. Now think about how he was able to get him open most of the time against, the number one corners. Now he's going to be lining up against the number two corners. Nobody's going to be able to cover him as number two.
We've got all the offensive pieces in place.
We do.
And someone now will spin around.
Except for maybe quarterback. That's still the only one that's
The only question, mark. But my God, if Hurts can improve, then the sky's the limit for this offense. All the other pieces are there. And ultimately, you would still, let's say Hurts just cannot get going. You still have Gardner Minshew there that can come in and make this offense score points. So either way,
right.
Hurts or Minshew, they're going to score points.
And because of Howie's trade next year with the Saints, they have two first-round picks, and they go and get their quarterback if it's not Hurts.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So just really smart offseason all around with Howie, and we're not even done going through the picks yet. But they're bringing A.J. Brown. Nobody saw that coming. We knew that the Eagles were after a wide receiver this offseason. They were. They absolutely were in the mix. But once the Christian Kirk contract set the whole bar of, you know, of what the budget is or what the asking price is for any good wide receiver, then the Eagles just were like, you know, basically took a pass. And I don't blame them for doing that because there's not many wide receivers that are worth over $22 million. And certainly Christian Kirk is not worth that. And the ones that are, you know, the guys that wanted to renegotiate agreements, it was all, you know, quickly it was Davante Adams, of course. Once he saw that contract, went to Green Bay and said, you guys need to pay up. And who was the other big wide receiver did the same thing? Oh, Tyreek Hill did the same thing with the Chiefs. You know,
Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams both played with exceptional quarterbacks.
Right.
A.J. Brown played with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
And still dominated.
Right. He did.
So if there's a guy that if Hurts is still trying to learn the game, but A.J. will still make him look good, it's A.J. Brown. No head case issues. He's not a prima donna.
Yeah.
He's about the best wide receiver you can possibly want for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I agree. And speaking of Hurts, as more is coming out since this whole trade went down, apparently, Hurts had a say in this matter. Like, he and Brown, I don't think many people in the NFL knew. I don't think certainly many Eagle fans knew at all. He's good friends with A.J. Brown. Like, they're buddies. Apparently, the story behind it is Hurts tried to recruit him to Alabama. So he's known Hurts since the college days. And they just kept in touch. They just kind of hit it off and became buddies, even though A.J. Brown ended up not going to Alabama, and I think he went to Ole Miss or something like that to play college.
Yeah.
But they have a strong bond, and Hurts was like, you know, basically talked him into, because A.J. Brown, it's a big decision, and A.J. talked about it at his press conference. He's like, this was a big decision for me. He's like, yeah, I wanted more money, but, you know, it's not like he wanted to leave the Titans. He wasn't asking out. No. He wanted just a fair deal based on a new market set by the Kirks of the world. And who could blame him for that? He only had a year left in his agreement. And the Titans were like, I don't know, maybe every team has got different budgets and different salary crap situations. Did I say crap? Salary cap situations. and you know, they probably just looked at their team and who they need to sign and whatever and just said, well, you know what? If they're going to give us a first-round pick, we don't want to let A.J. Brown go, but we can, and then we'll just draft a wide receiver with the pick that the Eagles give us. And that's ultimately what they ended up doing. And but Hurts, apparently, while A.J. was trying to figure out what exactly to do and if he was willing to accept the trade and all those kind of things, you know, Hurts was in his ear saying, come on over. You know? So I think Hurts deserves a little bit of credit for getting him here as well, because A.J. wasn't completely committed to leaving the Titans.
Right.
So,
hopefully, and I think Jalen's the type of guy. So here's, Jalen just has to make sure he keeps that friendship in the right place on that offense and doesn't overcommit to throwing in that direction. You know, I think some Eagles receivers were a little bent that Wentz and Hurts had that connection. And then when Wentz tried to go elsewhere, I just don't think he was as it was a quarterback, but as long as Hurts keeps that all in perspective and keeps them, if he's a good leader, we're going to find out.
right.
this year.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, until we see that, you know, that's not a concern. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. He can't just because Brown's his buddy. He can't just be looking at him first and second and third and not looking at anyone else.
Yeah.
You know. So, but anyway, I think. You know, I think most Eagle fans, I don't know if I've even heard of one Eagle fan that's not happy that AJ Brown's an Eagle. So it just makes this offense so much more exciting. And, you know, the other thing I'm hearing, just let's touch on this really quick, because I'm a little, the only, you're talking about concerns is, like, I hear a lot of the Eagles saying, Eagles just, even the named people in the media saying, well, this will turn the Eagles into more of a passing offense, you know. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, it should. It definitely gives us more weapons, but I don't want them to get away from the run. They still need to run the ball. That scares me when I hear, well, now there'll be a passing offense. I'm like, yes, it'll help for sure, but I would not get away from the run. And if that's what the new philosophy is going to be, then, I mean.
Tell me an NFL team in today's era, though, that's not a passing offense.
I know. I get it. I get it.
The statement itself is a little overrated. I'm like, you know, I get it because we want them to run the ball and want them to take advantage of Sanders.
Right.
But I'm like, every team just throws.
That's true. I know. It is. But that's the, you know, but you also need a quarterback who can make those throws, and that's the unknown with Hurts. You know, you got to hope that he continues to get better. It's like if Hurts doesn't give, I mean, I guess that's my point. If Hurts does not improve from last year, then they better go back to running the ball again,
running it more. 60 something passes to Devontae Smith for 900 something yards and 5 or 6 touchdowns. So
yeah, well, I want more of a mix. I think one of the reasons why I didn't want to run the ball or pass the ball much last year because I didn't believe in other than Smith, nobody else can get open. And Smith and you know the tight end there, Goddard, you know, and they were running the ball so well, you know,
right. And he missed Watkins on a couple passes.
Missed Watkins a couple times.
Pretty much everything that was thrown his way.
Right. So, all right. Well, I don't want to get too – I guess we got a little too deep in the weeds there, but we could talk about that a little bit later. All right. So, let's move on. So, second-round pick, and this is – if I hear any sort of negative vibes coming out of this draft, it seems to be with Eagle fans with the second-round pick. And I think they've been redeemed a little bit once we get to talk about the third-round pick. But I know some Eagle fans were bent out of shape about their second pick. I know I wasn't. I don't believe you were. And the guy we're talking about is the center out of Nebraska, Cam Jurgens. So what's your thought on him?
Well, so Cam Jurgens, I still think that that's a neat position because they were able to convince and talk Kelsey out of retirement. And what that pick means to me is that they're going to make the right decision and keep Landon Dickerson at left guard.
Yes.
Which makes that whole left side of the line just one of the best in football for the next 10 years, perhaps. I mean, depending on how they're able to re-sign contracts, but Jordan Mulata at left tackle.
By the way, if I can stop you real quick, I just had a random thought just pop in my head, and I have to mention it. So the Eagles are on the goal line, right? Third and one, fourth and one, fourth and goal, third and goal, whatever you want to say it. What if they bring in Jordan Davis as a lead block?
Honestly, put him at fullback.
And you run him to the left side. Who is going to stop a 1 yard run behind Landon Dickerson, Mailata, and then Jordan Davis as a lead block?
Right.
You're going to have a tunnel to run through. It's just, I don't know. As you were talking about it, that popped in my mind. I had to mention. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry I interrupted.
That would be awesome. But that's it. They got that. So it totally makes sense. And Dickerson was a rookie coming off injury, and he played so well at guard. And he teamed up with Mulata, like, fantastically. So that's going to be better.
Yeah.
Even better than it was last year, that's going to be better. You get Kelsey for 1 year center. The right side of the line, you're missing
Brooks.
Where Brandon Brooks retires, so you've got Lane Johnson, who's also getting up there in age, and who knows how many years he's got left. So you draft Kelsey's replacement, and he's basically a Kelsey clone. Handpicked by Kelsey,
right?
That's exactly these, you know, the sources that I read and I pull from Lindy's a lot. I pull from Pro Football Weekly, and Cam Jurgens' name is associated with initial quickness. Like, he's the fastest guy off the ball, like truly elite quickness off the ball, and hardly a center ever has it, but this guy has it. So that's the Kelsey-ness that is there. And if he plays right guard and he's able to plug in and play, and now you've got Kelsey and Cam Jurgens playing the right guard. They also have Isaac Samalo still. So they've got depth, and they've got people that can play multiple
and Driscoll.
Positions.
Driscoll's a pretty good player.
And yeah. Jake Driscoll. Yep. So you've got – and they just – they released Nate Herbig.
Yeah, they just – that's breaking news today. They let him go today. And that was after signing him to like a $5 million contract, I think.
Yeah. So I think that's the Cam Jurgens effect on that. I think they want Cam on the field. And I think all of these linemen, though, they all played well last year.
They did.
And so Howie is not – hiding things from people. When people are pissed off, he doesn't grab linebackers. He will always tell you, we believe in building on the lines. That's what they learned from Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Build the defensive line, build the offensive line, and you can't do anything else successfully until you get those two things taken care of. And you want to see what the opposite of that looks like. It's Jacksonville. It's Washington football team or the Commanders. It's the New York Giants who have ignored those line positions.
They didn't ignore this past draft, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. They have.
Yeah,
the past.
Washington stacked up on defense over the years, but their
offensive line. Yep.
Yeah, they just don't have all the holes filled.
The Giants had both sides. For some reason, they got away with it, away from it. Yeah.
You look at where their top picks went over the last few years. It was Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley. Bunch of receivers that were in there, adjusted relatively high, and so that line rocks out. So if they draft the lineman. And if the reports on him were initially good, that this person should play, and especially everything I heard about Kelsey being part of finding his replacement, they're going to keep this offense going. Now, asking him to live up to Kelsey's standards is lofty. He's a Hall of Famer.
All-time
Hall of Famer.
Right.
And so that will be hard
to replace. And his leadership, too. He's not only a great player, but he's also a great leader. And he's a smart player, too.
I'm not saying he's a Kelsey clone or will live up to that, but it makes sense.
He definitely looks like Kelsey. I mean, you hear about, comps all the time. This guy plays like so-and-so. This guy reminds me of this guy. This guy reminds me of that guy. You hear it all the time by the talking heads on TV. But I tell you what, you put the tape on of Cam Jurgens, and he does play exactly like Kelsey as far as getting down the field, his quick snap, like you mentioned, getting off the ball fast. And his physicality for being an undersized, he does look exactly like Kelsey in terms of how he plays. Now, that's in college. We don't know if that'll transfer to the NFL, but it looks promising. And, I guess my point is when they say this guy's a Kelsey clone or he looks a lot like Kelsey or, reminds people of Kelsey, he definitely does. He put the tape on. Yep. He looks like he plays exactly like Jason Kelsey does. All right, moving on to the third pick, and this is the one that if any of the Eagle fans out there were kind of disappointed with the second-round pick, because they basically wanted this guy. This is who they wanted the Eagles to draft with that second pick. The Eagles got him with the third pick, and this is the guy that I think even more so for me. I'm excited about Jordan Davis too, but I think I'm even more excited about seeing this guy as a linebacker. Number one, because we've been so lacking talent in linebacker for so many, decades even, really since Trotter was the last really, really good linebacker we had. And before him was Seth. And we're just, me and you and people our age, we're used to the Eagles having dominant linebackers, or at least one dominant linebacker. Sometimes they've had two. And for the last 10 years, or really since Trotter, they haven't had anything at linebacker. Really, just a bunch of scrap heap guys that they just fill in. Well, this guy, and I'm talking about Mr. Dean, N'Kobe Dean, out of Georgia, has the star power. And again, I might be reaching here because he hasn't even played it down yet in the NFL. But to me, his personality, his do everything, he's good against the pass. He can cover. He can blitz the quarterback. He can obviously play linebacker. He just does it all. And if he's healthy, and that seems to be the only question mark, I think this guy is the next star to be in Philadelphia. I'm singing him a lot of high praise right now. I get it. But I see a lot of these little characteristics that I'd like to see in not only just an Eagle player, but just a star football player. And I think N'Kobe Dean has got star written all over him. All right, that's my take. Now, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on N'Kobe Dean?
Well, I think with certain players, size really doesn't matter, right? So if you drafted Drew Brees by his physical stature, you would have drafted Mark McGwire's brother.
Dan McGwire.
Dan McGwire, yeah. You would have drafted him, and Brees would you know, but you look what happens and Brees is the all-pro Hall of Fame quarterback because the guy can play football, and he's learned. And same with Russell Wilson, right? He's short, too.
Yep.
And all of the guys, Russell was third round, Drew Brees was second round. Why? Because taller prototype guys were rated higher and couldn't play football. Jamarcus Russell, number one draft pick for LA Raiders.
Really? Major bust.
So some people, I think, just can innately play. They just know it. They have instincts. They have quick twitch.
Well, Brian Dawkins, right? He was an undersized safety coming out of college. Perfect example right here in Philly.
Second rounder, and they just know the game, and if they can think the game and they know the pieces and the parts and how they all fit together, they move faster because they're not waiting for stuff to happen. And that's what overcomes their size limitations. So if you read anything about N'Kobe Dean from the experts, they'll say he's maxed out his frame, he's going to get washed over by these offensive linemen and these big dudes. And I'm like, well, Alabama has a bunch of big dudes, and all you see on that tape is N'Kobe Dean finding
making plays everywhere,
making plays all over. Why? Because he ain't sitting waiting. He knows what's happening.
Right.
And so, boom, he's able to respond quickly.
He knows how to play with leverage. He knows to get off blocks. Yeah. Exactly. He knows all that. That's kind of what I'm getting at. He instinctively is. You just look at him play, and he's a football player. Now, all this remains to be seen. I know I'm singing a major high praise, but I think I would be shocked if this guy is not at least an above average linebacker in the NFL, and I think his ceiling is much higher than that.
Yep. He's vocal, he's communicative with his teammates, he takes a leadership role on the field.
Yeah.
The guy can move, and this is a passing league, like we had just mentioned from the offensive point of view. So you need linebackers that can run in space. So if you're telling me that he's light compared to traditionally sized linebackers, I don't care. Can he play in cover of the pass? Great. Can he make tackles for loss? Great.
Yeah.
Can he inspire his defense? Great. That's all I need.
Yeah, and think about this. So, you know, you talked about him being undersized and everything and all this. Well, he was still, even though he's undersized, quote-unquote, projected to be a top 20 pick in the first round until these concerns came out last minute about, you know, his labrum and or his pec, I think it was his pec, and some other injuries that suddenly just came out, which is the only reason the Eagles were able to get him at 3. So they got lucky. They're actually lucky that all that stuff suddenly came out because the Eagles would not have him, would not have been able to get him. So I'm glad that those rumors came out because he's not going to miss any time. So those were completely rumors. He's going to be right at the OTAs and ready to go. He's going to be on the field. Now, the Eagles might. Yeah, the Eagles will probably take it easy on him, and, you know, he'll have limited practice here for a while, but he's on the field. He's not going to get surgery. He doesn't need it, and he's going to play. So.
Yeah, and it would be hard. I can't believe that he wouldn't be in the starting role on opening day. So, like.
Oh, yeah, he will be. He definitely will be.
Yeah, and if anything, it's Jordan Davis that might be the one that's rotating in. He's the only one that's not guaranteed a starting rotation.
Ironically,
on Hargrave, and they're going to bring in Davis.
Yeah.
But Cam will probably be starting at right guard, unless he gets beat out by Small or something. But
I don't know if he's going to be starting at right guard. I'm not sure about that. Because they have Salamal. Yeah, they have him coming back, and he's shown that he can play guard. Plus, they have Driscoll, who's been very good, whatever they put him in. So, not to say that he won't be, he may not, but I'm just saying, I don't know if that's a guarantee that he'll be starting right guard.
Yeah, well,
because there's a lot of competition there. It's up for grabs. There's no doubt up for grabs.
My point still being that Dean probably has the best chance to start with the most playing time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, no doubt.
So, I like it. 3 picks. And A.J. Brown, that's a great 4 players so far.
I know. This has to be one of the best. I mean, Eagles had a good draft last year. And, you know, this is how you build team. This is how you build a not only playoff team, but a potential championship team. And that is having back-to-back. If they can – I think they hit mostly last year. They had at least 3 or 4 players out of last year's draft that look really, really good and have been big-time contributors already. And if they get that out of this draft, which looks very promising, I mean, A.J. Brown's a given. I mean, let's, you know, that is pretty much a given. But, you know, Jordan Davis and Cam Jurgens, he may not do anything this year. He's more after, Kelce retires, I believe. But say now, I don't want to speak this into existence or anything, but gives depth, right? So Kelce, fortunately, has been very healthy the last couple of years. But say he goes down for a couple of games. Now you could plug in a center. You know,
yep.
Not one of these guys that centers their second or third position and they got to kind of, you know, figure out how to play center. You know, this thing is just plug in, Jurgens in there. And yeah, he's a rookie, but at least he's a center and he's ready to go.
Yep.
So, by the way, another little factoid that I heard about Jordan Davis. You know, he ran his 40 time at the combine faster than who the hell's a Kansas City quarterback?
Pat Mahomes,
yeah. He ran a quicker 40 time than Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. Well, every stride's like 16.
I know. It's just when you hear stuff like that, you're just like, my God.
Yeah, he can move.
Yeah. I had another live brain fart. I always love when that happens. I can't even remember Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Since you mentioned last year's draft, though, let me recap. They got Devontae Smith, Brandon Dickerson, Milton Williams, all three highly productive.
Yeah.
Zach McPherson waits to be seen what he can do. But then fifth pick, Kenny Gainwell. Scores points more than, like, points per touches. The guy, like, led probably all running backs last year. And then the rest is, you know, we'll see. Teron Jackson, the defensive end, and
One of them retired already, right? Oh, no. Was he brought over as a free agent or something? That guy, Valanio or whatever, he's got that long, nasty name that ends in X.
He was a free agent.
Okay.
Yeah, was gone.
And the other one got hurt, right?
Picks.
Yeah.
So that's four picks plus possibly a McPherson sighting. We'll see what he does this year.
Right.
I'm sure he'll get more time. But
yeah, and he actually showed some promise last year. You know, when he was in there, he played okay. You know, he wasn't horrible. You know,
but they have four out of nine total picks, with most of those being after the fourth round.
Yeah.
So that's how I'll take it.
All right, moving on. Let's group the next two together because I'd like to wrap up the show talking about what the rest of the NFC East is. So let's talk quickly about Grant. Which one? They picked Kyren first, right? So Kyren Johnson, the linebacker, edge rusher out of Kansas. And then Grant Calcaterra, the tight end out of, Oklahoma is what I have right. What are your thoughts on those two?
So I like the linebacker pick. He's almost like N'Kobe Dean, same kind of prototype of size and speed. So he's not going to bull rush. He's not a trotter guy. He's not going to run anybody over on his way to the quarterback, but seems to be able to move in space and cover and pick and
He did run that guard over that video I sent you. He ran that guy over in that practice block.
Yeah, in the drill. But, you know, one
No, I know, but it was still kind of fun to see that.
And I'm like, yeah, that's of course the one that you want me to watch. But the can he do it frequently? Can he do it all the time? We'll see.
He got six sacks though in his senior year. He got six sacks against he's not in the SEC or anything, but six sacks is pretty productive from a outside linebacker rusher.
Yeah, 6.5 sacks, and we'll see how it goes. But these guys. They're six-round picks, so I think a lot of Eagles fans are like, oh, we should have gone cornerback. We still have a need. I'm like, not in the sixth round, dude.
Yeah.
You draft special teams players, and then you try to find diamonds in the rough because they're either going to boom or bust, or you get a guy that can play. That's what a six-round pick. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside should have been a six-round pick, right? Hey, this is a wide receiver that can block.
He should have been.
I'll take him in the sixth round.
Yeah.
These are those types of guys. So if you're better than J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, then all of these guys are well worth the sixth-round pick.
Right.
I mentioned this before we've talked about it, but cornerbacks that are stars in the NFL, they never get drafted after the third round. They're all first, second round.
It's true.
Most of them. It's rare that you get like a Josh Norman, who I think was a fifth round pick.
Super rare.
Rare to find
those
guys.
Super, super rare. Yeah.
Yep. So this guy, he's got a lot of room for him to start. So we'll see what happens. He might also be playing a lot of linebacker for the Eagles this year. Mm. So we'll see. I like the pick. I think they've got to figure out that linebacker room and figure out who can play.
There's more talent in that linebacker room for the first time in probably a decade.
Right now.
Right.
So TJ Edwards is the only bona fide starter. We did talk about the free agent signings from San Diego. So they've got two spots that they look that are solid going into camp. But now, if you only got one more spot to fill and you got Sean Bradley or N'Kobe Dean or Tyron Johnson, great. Let them battle it out so you can fill in those other roles. But I like the pick there.
Yeah. I do too. Okay.
And Cam, what
about
so the other,
yeah, what about tight end, Grant Calcaterra?
So one of the magazines I had him ranked third overall as the top tight ends. Okay. So to get a top three tight end, and that was Athlon Sports that had him up there.
Okay.
No, sorry, that was Lindy's, which is my more trusted.
And he had a concussion issue, from what I understand.
So he retired, took a year off due to concussions. He was an EMT for a year, so he's very well aware of how concussions can affect you medically.
Yeah.
But he was he's highly praised by Lindy's. His pro comparison is Mike Gesicki from the Dolphins.
It's a good one.
And one of the key bits that's in here is it says there aren't many athletes with the tools of folks like Gesicki and Calcaterra, and those few types are in high demand from the league. Right, because it's a passing league. So he's not a run blocker. He's not going to crush people. He's smaller in stature than Dallas Goedert, but he's supposed to be one of these tight ends that can get vertical speed down the field.
That's good. And because the Eagles have such a strong offensive line, I mean, it's nice when you have a tight end that can block. You give you an extra guy there like Goddard. But you don't need it. It's not a need to have a tight end that blocks in this with this type of offensive line the Eagles have. So they have that luxury to be able to bring in a tight end who doesn't block so well or just not part of his game and utilize
him. Yep.
Yeah.
So I like that pick too. If you can stay healthy enough, then great. You know, should be able to catch some people off guard because there's plenty of other targets on the field to open up space for the tight end. So it's one no one's looking because they're looking at A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Boom, this guy just takes off straight down the seam, touchdown. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's so that took us through the five. I'm going to talk briefly on the undrafted free agents that they brought in. Before I get to that, though, I have another little mental note here that getting back to N'Kobe Dean. You know, Ray Didinger is a guy who obviously he's a Hall of Fame, you know, Philadelphia journalist. And, you know, he's a guy that's hard to get excited. He always is pretty much a low-key guy. And whenever they ask him for his opinion on things, not to mention he's just great to listen to. And he knows his stuff, obviously. He was hard for him to contain his excitement when the Eagles got N'Kobe Dean in the third round. So, you know, I don't know what that means really at the end of the day, but if there's a player that can get Ray Didinger to get excited, then you know, I think that's a good sign. Because I just wanted to mention that.
Well, two players from that championship-winning Georgia Bulldog defense makes me happy. So
right.
So undrafted free agents.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about all of them. Let's just go over to like the two guys that kind of come off the page. I think they're the most interesting to talk about. And that would be, what do you know about Mario Goodrich out of Clemson and Josh Jobe out of Alabama? Those are the two corners that the Eagles aggressively went after as soon as that as soon as the clock started that you can sign undrafted free agents. The Eagles went after those guys hard and fast. So what are your thoughts on those guys? What can you tell us?
Well, I love the fact that they're both SEC players. So one's Alabama, Josh Jobe. He was rated 18th out of all the cornerbacks that Lindy's rated. He's 6'1", 194, and a 40 time of 4.5, which sounds slow, but according to Lindy's, he plays faster than he times in practice.
Okay.
And then Mario Goodrich, Clemson, SEC team again, 6', 190, 40 time of 4.45. He was slated to go in the third round, according to Lindy's, but he has a little bit better reporting on him. They say that his 190 pounds and 6' is like Dawkins-esque, like the dude's built out of muscle, like a V-shaped frame, probably could switch to safety because he's built like one.
Interesting.
But both of these guys are known for being sure and steady tacklers, so they don't shy away from the run. They're going to play. They both played in professional types of defensive systems at Clemson.
And they were covering these stud wide receivers that have been drafted in that SEC conference.
Yep. all year.
So I got a little bit on just to tell you how, just give an indication as far as how aggressively they went after Goodrich in particular. According to NFL Network, the undrafted free agent contract that they gave him was $217,000 fully guaranteed, which, to put it in perspective, the Eagles' highest paid undrafted free agent last year was Jack Stoll, the tight end, and he only got $122,000. So they're paying almost twice as much to this guy that they offered him to bring him in, and obviously that's why he came here. I'm sure he was probably the highest offer that he got. But he also started 12 games last year as a senior, again, in the SEC. Keep that in mind. And he had 48 tackles, 11 pass breakups, and 2 picks.
Yeah, and they said that the depth chart, of course, in Clemson was stacked, so he didn't really play much until his senior campaign.
Yeah.
And he had just 4 career starts, but they said he went on to be invited to the Senior Bowl, and they said Goodrich's statistics in 2021, while solid, 43 tackles, 9 passes defense, 2 interceptions, a forced fumble.
It's weird, we got different recaps of last season. The stats I just gave are a little off. Or yours are, they just are a little bit different. Go ahead. Sorry. I just picked up on that as you were saying.
Well, this is for Goodrich.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It says for me in 2021, he had 48 tackles, 11 pass breakups, and 2 picks. And your numbers were a little different.
Interesting. Yeah. So they're off by 2, basically. Yeah. 2 tackles. Yeah. 2 tackles and 2 passes defense. But the one forced fumble is accurate. But they say in here, it's like, well, it's funny you say that because it says did not accurately reflect his value. Yeah,
because you showed him. Yeah, you guys didn't accurately do his. Yeah.
But they're basically saying he's better than what his stats showed, even for being in that division and playing in the SEC conference.
Right.
They say he has no problem redirecting wide receivers. He corrals them nicely at the line of scrimmage and would impress them. Both of these guys, though, are, they said, when they're flipping their hips and trying to turn, that's where they lose the step.
Okay, which is important for cornerback, but maybe they can.
Yeah,
maybe they can work on.
So they recover. They recover in catch up. Like they don't have that high echelon speed to cover that mistake.
Yeah,
and they'll just have to work on that though. You know, you can flip your, you can learn how to flip your hips and run and accelerate through that process. So right. I think it gives Joe Gannon.
And that's where Slay can come in and help him too. You know, Slay's a guy that seems to be a real team player and. You know, Slay, working with a guy in Slay, an All-Pro, can help him out too. You know, if the talent's there, and if the talent is there, or the ability is there to get better, and the will to get better is with either one of those guys or both, then, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say that they would potentially improve and maybe become a player and make the team. Who knows? These guys are definitely not guaranteed to make the team, but. You know, there's definitely a wide open gap for cornerbacks in this team. So, you know, they have a shot for sure.
Yep. And I think they're filling out special teams with these guys too. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll probably hang on them for a couple years at least.
Well, getting back to special teams, that guy, Kyron Johnson, we talked about, the linebacker, he's supposedly a huge, big time special teams player. So he may make the team just because he's good at special teams.
Yeah.
You know, the guy out of Kansas. All right, so we have just about 10 minutes here, about 7 minutes or so. So let's talk about, let's go around the NFC East and what your thoughts are and just what our divisional rivals did in the draft.
So I thought the Giants drafted well, took care of their offensive line, and then got a pass rushing linebacker in the middle rounds that was pretty highly rated. I can't recall his name right now because I don't pay attention to those teams as much as the Eagles. But the Cowboys, I thought, was mild, although I did like their pick of Sam Williams, who's a pass rusher. They got him in the middle rounds, and he was one of the he was slated to go there, so they didn't overdraft him or underdraft him, but it was like, man, that's you can't have too many pass rushers, I think, in the NFL, right? Keep them fresh, rotate them through. So I like that pick for Dallas. But otherwise, I don't know. Dallas didn't seem to do anything very sexy in the draft, which is probably fine, you know.
Right.
But we'll see. I don't know if they improved their team as much in this offseason as the Eagles have. But I think the Eagles and the Giants have improved the most in offseason acquisitions, largely for the Eagles due to A.J. Brown. But the Giants – because they put the attention where they needed it to on the defensive line.
Yeah, they got one of the top DNs, and they got one of the top in Thibodeau, and then they got one of the top, you know, offensive lines in Neal. So, and, you know, they already got a good offensive left tackle in Thomas last year. So now they now, if this guy Neal, which everyone's projecting to be one of the, you know, to be a can't miss, you know, then they have their bookends, much like the Eagles have had for many years. So the Giants are definitely making the right, which I thought they were. These guys that they brought in from the Bills, the GM and the coach, they know what they're doing. They built the Bills up there. So it doesn't surprise me now the Giants may have gotten it right with their front office, which is not good news for the Eagles. But the Eagles also had a strong draft, too. It's not like the Giants had a great draft and the Eagles bombed. It looks like the Eagles had a, you know, a strong draft as well.
Well, and usually I would like to think, like, well, they still have Daniel Jones, which I don't have much faith in him. But he somehow always has great
games. But again, he does. But think about this, though. I mean, Daniel Jones has not had an offensive line to work with since he's been in the league. So I still – not that I – you know, I'm not saying he's destined for stardom, but, you know.
That's fair.
He's never had an offensive line. Guy's always running for his life.
Yeah.
So we'll see what he can do. He's going to get at least 1 year to operate under – a relatively decent line. So, but the Eagles, I mean, not the Eagles, the Giants did not extend him though. So they're, which I think is smart. You know, they may still, if he ends up showing, you know, showing that he is the goods this year with a offensive line and Barkley back another year removed from his serious injury. And the Giants are one of those teams that could make a, I'm not going to say they're going to make a run for the division, but they should be vastly improved, I think.
Everyone's trying to figure out where Baker Mayfield's going to end up, but I think he's going to end up as a New York Giant somehow.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yep. And then it's the Commanders, who I thought were all right.
The who?
And then the Washington Commanders, new for 2022.
G.I. Joe?
I was so curious to see whether they were going to go quarterback early, and they held off. But they did eventually go quarterback in the fifth round with the Sam Cowell from UNC, who apparently has got all the right size and stature and type stats. But he's got an attitude that says, I want to play football. So I'm very interested to see how that
meshes with our Mr. Softman, Mr. Wentz.
Because if there's any pressure applied to Wentz, then he's just going to try to do too much and he's going to tank that team. And then I don't know who's left to blame after that. So very curious that they have all this money committed to Wentz and then still drafted that quarterback behind him. So,
when you got a guy who's got such a fragile ego for any type of competition, that's a risky – I mean, I not that I blame Washington for drafting quarterback. I really don't blame him for doing it, but man, you just right, that's true too. Yeah, well, especially it was as often as Wentz was always getting hurt, you know, for the Eagles to go. And the only issue I think the Eagles fans had for drafting a back quarterback is they took him the second round pick, I should say, you know, because you're like, what are you doing? You know, we already have a quote franchise quarterback we just gave $300 million plus contract to. Why are you drafting a backup in the second round? I mean. Who knows? Who would have thought that he would be the starter the following year? But this is the way things played out. But that should be interesting. And, you know, the whole Wentz deal, he's now got to come and play the Eagles twice. He's got to play the Eagles twice every year now. And next year, he also plays Indianapolis. So.
It's superhero Wentz. He's going to show. He's going to throw some INTs.
Yeah, that's been his deal. He gets too reckless with the ball. He tries to do all everything, and that's when he gets into trouble. And he's not been the same quarterback. But we'll see. I mean, I'm not ready to say that his career is over. You know, he had a relatively decent year last year, but look what happened. I mean, there's something else besides his ability. It's something I don't know what exactly is. I haven't been able to put my finger on it, but there's got to be a reason. Why, you know, obviously he asked his way out of Philadelphia, which I could never forgive him for. I mean, if you can't compete or threatened by anybody as a starting quarterback in the league, then you just – this is why I appreciate Hurts so much, because Hurts has got the leadership. He has those intangibles that Wentz does not have, is clearly lacking. And then in Indianapolis, they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
No. So you wonder what's going on there. You wonder, you know, there's all the locker room talk, you know, people blame Alshon Jeffrey, and I think maybe I blame them too, but it's like, hey.
Might be something there, like whatever Jeffrey was talking about.
Yep.
Obviously, he rubbed a lot of people in Indianapolis the wrong way after just 1 year.
Yeah, well, especially the owner.
Owner. But, you know, and look how much Indy gave up for him. So, again, you have to really not like a guy to get rid of him after 1 year, after what Indy gave a first-round pick for him. Now started, you know, they would have had to start paying him a ton of money. The Eagles paid his salary last year. You know, but they took on his salary, or they would have if he stayed there. They made a huge commitment to Wentz, and they couldn't wait to get him out of town. So
isn't that crazy? It's crazy.
It is crazy.
We'll see. So I would not have given the quarterback to put that pressure on Wentz, but maybe the Commanders weren't paying attention.
They were too busy trying to figure out what their new name's going to be. And they probably should have spent more time on that.
Well, I don't think they listen to the fans much on that either. So there will be plenty of availability for Eagles fans to come down to D.C. to watch that game next year.
Oh, yeah. Fill that filthy FedEx stadium up.
Yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't...
Give Carson the booze that he deserved 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's definitely going to hear it in Philadelphia. I mean, if he thinks he's going to come back to Philly and get a rousing ovation... It ain't happening. That's not happening, Carson. We didn't get a chance to boo your ass. You're pathetically horrible last year here.
Yeah.
And especially the way you went out. I think it's even more so. Not so fact that he played bad, but just the fact that he tucked his tail in between his legs and ran out of here.
Not in Philly.
Well, thanks again for joining the program, Matt. Really appreciate it. I'm going to have you back again if that's okay with you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it, and thank you all for tuning in and listening. This is Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. The Eagles are on the way. I think they're flying high into the 2022 season. We'll be back. Stay tuned again for episode 66 right around the corner. Until then, take care. Fly, Eagles, fly.